So as I was titling this message, because that's one thing that I haven't really done is titled the messages that I've been up there, that I've been up here. And you know, it was her heart, of course, that stood out to me. So what I titled this was A Heart Bent Toward God. And can we feel her heart? Mary had a great heart for God. And everything starts in our heart. Is that right? Everything is seen. Everything that we speak, everything comes from our heart. And if it's not right with God, he can't use it. So create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And that's from Psalms 51:10. And Mary knew scripture. So we need to start each day in God's word and pray before we dig in and ask him to reveal to you what the word says. So Mary's heart was ready to be asked by God to do a task to fulfill his purpose. Are you ready for a task that he might be preparing you for? For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth was to come through Jesus Christ. The true light that gives life to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him, and he came to which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:9-18. So we see that God sent an angel, Gabriel, with a message to a virgin girl pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. The virgin's name was Mary. She would have been a simple girl from a town called Nazareth in the hill country of Galilee, from the tribe of Judah, a descendant from Israel's greatest king, King David, in the family line of Jesus, the Messiah. It is believed that she was very young as her story unfolds. And as a custom, the girls would be betrothed when they reached puberty as early as 12 years old. And most unions were arranged by the parents. And that sounds crazy, doesn't it? I mean, that young to be engaged, that's what they were. They were engaged. And were any of you out there still playing with dolls at 12 or 13 years old? Well, I was. So anyhow, the Jewish betrothal was an important part of the marriage process, and it was binding. The contract was called a kedubah. I'm probably not saying it right. But it was witnessed, and it was signed, and the contract was binding. And the couple was considered married, yet the ceremony and the consummation would not occur for at least as long as 1 year. And it was only broken by divorce or death. In the Jewish culture, the groom's father paid the bride's price, and it was called a mohar. And this was cash. But sometimes there were jewels or a service that was rendered, but it was agreed upon by the fathers, and it was given from the boy's father to the bride's father. And I found it interesting that the fathers in that day were more concerned about the marriage of their sons than their daughters. Because no expense was involved in marrying off the daughter. Now that's a little bit opposite of what it is today. The bride would live in the father's house during the engagement, and she would learn the basics from her mom and learn how to be a good Jewish wife. And I think that our lives are really busy right now, and we've lost some of that. Our kids need to know the basics. They need to learn responsibility. And Mary had no reason to believe that her life would be any different than her mother's life. And one of the basic duties of Jewish parents was to teach scripture. And they did this very young, and they did this all the time. And it was the Torah. And Torah is a Hebrew word for instruct. It refers to the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And like I said, it started at a very early age. The children were to recite the morning blessings, and it was their declaration of faith, to give grace at meals, and to say the Sema, and that was a prayer that they said at night. And it included Deuteronomy 6:6, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So they were trained in scripture. They knew it by heart, schooled by their parents, Deuteronomy 11:19. It was their responsibility, so Mary must have known the word. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart, Deuteronomy 6:6. Ladies, you can't teach what you don't know. If your word is not planted in your heart, how can you wholeheartedly teach anyone else? And you can tell the difference between heart knowledge and head knowledge. So you need to really get in there and get it into your being so that it comes out in a loving, joyful way. And I like the verse of Jeremiah 15:16. When your words came, I ate them, and they were my joy and my heart's delight. So you need to teach with joy, uplifting, with praise. It goes on in Deuteronomy 6:7. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. It sounds like most all the time. And it's easy as saying Jesus loves you. This needs to be our focal point too in our lives, and it's our responsibility to teach our children and grandchildren in love. So start your children off in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not turn from it, Proverbs 22:6. And along with scripture, parents, we need to teach our children to pray, to talk to God, to be thankful. We need to read with them. Show morals and respect. Extend grace to one another. And live out scripture in our lives. We assume that Mary was saturated in God's word. Her joy would come forth, for the more we know, the more it shows. The Lord knew her heart, a heart bent toward him, and he was about to present her with a task that would change her life. Would you be ready and would you be willing? Is your heart ready and bent toward him? Can you cry out Psalms 57:2? I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose in me. She was pledged to be married to a man, Joseph, a descendant of David. And the Gospels describe him as a Teton, and that's Greek for carpenter of wood. And that's found in Matthew 13:53. So I don't think that it was an accident that these two were engaged. It was all in God's plan. He knew all that Joseph would be, that his life was about to be marked by godly conduct. Joseph was an upright man in Matthew 1:18-19, and he was a considerate husband in Matthew 1:20-23. He was an obedient servant of God in Matthew 1:24-25. He was a good citizen of his country, Luke 2:4-5. He was a good protector of his family, Matthew 2:13. Joseph was a concerned father in Luke 2:41-52. Every husband should show such love and consideration for his marriage and family. In Jesus' time on earth, he used marriage as an analogy of God's relationship with the church, his bride, Ephesians 5:25-27. He will return for his bride with a trumpet call and a shout, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. And we will all take part in the marriage feast of the Lamb, Revelation 19:7-9. Remember, God can use anyone to further his kingdom, his purpose, even a young girl and his soon-to-be husband. She was aware that she was a sinner. She knew that she needed a Savior. She had learned it from childhood, from the Torah. She knew that the Lord would bring forth the Messiah, born of a virgin, who would come to save his people. Even knowing this, what she was about to hear probably never so much as crossed her mind. She was about to put her faith into action, a childlike faith. A childlike faith always brings joy to our Father. In Luke 1, 26 through 38, an angel speaks to Mary. The Lord is with you, verse 28. We can face anything having that promise, and she was about to face an angel. All of this was to happen because God had shown favor, his grace upon Mary. In verse 30, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are favored, highly favored. The Lord is with you." He called her favored because she was chosen to receive God's grace. But Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. In verse 29, she was confused to why that she was chosen. "Me, Lord?" Her humility did not allow her to think of herself in such a way. You know, "Me, Lord?" She saw herself as unworthy. "Who am I to be blessed?" But we are all unworthy. But it's what we can become when we're in the potter's hands, when we surrender to his call. So the angel said, "Do not be afraid." He comforted her and he called her by name. "Mary, you have found favor with God." God chose Mary for a special assignment, a virgin chosen by God. "You will receive in your womb and bring forth a son." The focus was not upon her. "You will receive in your womb." The focus was on the son. The remarkable beginning ordained by God's power alone. "And you shall call him Jesus, and he will be great." Spurgeon said, "No one has influenced history more than Jesus Christ. Is it not proven that he is great? Conquerors are great, and he is the greatest of them. Deliverers are great, and he's the greatest of them. Liberators are great, and he is the greatest of them. And saviors are great, and he's the greatest of them. And he will be called the Son of the Highest, and he will be known as the Son of God. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David. He will be the one prophesied in 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 16, the Messiah who will rule over Israel. His kingdom will have no end." Mary would know all this to be true. She knew scripture. So God was mindful of her. He looked with favor on her. God chose her, and he blessed her. Were there others he could have chosen? Yes, but God chose her. Is he putting something on your heart? Is he choosing you for a task? Don't let it pass by. Answer that call. We were told Mary was frightened. Obeying means that sometimes you have to do things that are not easy. Jesus says those who hear God's word and obey are blessed as Mary, from Luke 11, 27 and 28. We are blessed when we surrender to the will and obey his call. "How will this be?" Mary asked. "I am a virgin." Mary's question displayed faith. She was just asking how. How could this be? Guzik says her question was asked in wonder-filled faith. I like that. Wonder-filled faith. How will this happen? The virgin will conceive and bear a son. God's announcements of such blessings met with different responses. Sarah, Abraham's wife, laughed. Zechariah, and that was Genesis 18, and Zechariah doubted in Luke 1, and we will see that Mary submitted. She didn't understand, but she believed. She believed that God was able. She was taught the wonders of God, and they were passed down from generation to generation. She believed nothing is impossible with God. There's nothing that God cannot do, in Luke 1:37. Her character is revealed in her answer. We see her heart. I am the Lord's servant. May be it to me, as you have said. She humbly accepted. She was totally surrendered. She was merely the Lord's servant. A commentary reads, therein lies the miracle. People are not meant to explain it, to prove it, or ignore it. They are meant to believe it and worship the God who made it happen, for nothing is impossible with God. God was about to use her to bring the Savior into the world. The power of the highest will overshadow you. The power of the Holy Spirit, the glory and presence of God would be upon her. And she replies, may your words to me be fulfilled. She loved God and wanted to serve him with her whole heart, total submission to the will of God at any cost. What about Joseph? To have that relationship, that close walk with God, Scripture has to be a part of your daily life. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, Romans 12:2. So how could she explain this to her family or to Joseph? Look what was about to happen. Her heart had to be so full, overwhelmed, joyful, yet concerned. The news would be misunderstood by man, this highest calling, this greatest honor, misunderstood. But Gabriel had one more revelation for Mary in verse 36, and behold, even your relative is going to have a child in her old age, and she is in her sixth month. For Gabriel had also visited Zechariah concerning Elizabeth. There's nothing that's too hard for the Lord, nothing impossible, Jeremiah 32:17. Elizabeth said, the Lord alone has done this for me, in Luke 1:25. He knows our hearts, he knows our desires, and he knows our doubts. Are you trusting God to fulfill his promise to you? Do you have that faith? Take heart. It's in his timing and it's in his will. Our prayer should always include your will, Lord, not mine. May everything you have said come true. Let it be according to your word. This is a response every believer should have, according to your word. The angel departed. So much for her to grasp. All her life she was told about the Messiah. Did little girls dream of having this task? Imagine what her thoughts may have been. The joy, the absolute joy. The joy would have outweighed the questions that would come, the gossip and the hurtful looks. Her faith would allow her to praise him through it. So Scripture goes on and tells us that Mary went to visit Elizabeth. She hurries. If anyone could understand, it would be her. She hurries to see the hand of the Lord at work, to rejoice with her and praise the Lord for fulfilling his promise. The visit must have been a great surprise. They were not neighbors. They lived miles apart. Elizabeth recognized Mary's condition right away, spoke words given to her by the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she said, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the child you will bear. And verse 142. And all of this was God's plan. He is so good to us. He's good to us all the time. He provides for our needs in every situation, according to his riches and glory, Philippians 4:19. This beautiful union of Elizabeth and Mary, a picture of God's abundant grace to his servants. Scripture tells us that she stayed for 3 months, how they must have talked, the joy that they shared, the awe in what God was doing in their lives, praying and praising God, older women teaching younger. A beautiful picture. It's amazing what we can glean from each other. Not only the older church teaching the younger, I've learned so much from the younger women in my life. Add a little scripture along the way, because iron sharpens iron in Proverbs 27:17. Take time to listen, to get to know each other. Share the joy of each other's lives. Encourage when faced with the accusations and untruths, and rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Romans 12:15. The virgin birth would be difficult for people to believe. There's many that struggle with that to this day. This in itself would be a great trial for this young couple. Only confidence in God would sustain them. Mary was to return to Nazareth and Joseph. So Joseph was in a difficult situation. Mary's reputation, her honor, and even her life was at stake. And the news had a great impact on Joseph. But being a just man, faithful to the law, sought a quiet divorce rather than having her publicly judged. Penalty for unchastity was death by stoning, and that's in Deuteronomy 22:23-24. Spurgeon says, when we have to do a severe thing, let us choose the tenderest manner. And Joseph was tender, and then God intervened. Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, Matthew 1:20. Joseph chose without hesitation, the decision made easy, for he believed. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, yet had no union with her until Christ was born, Matthew 1:25. Mary and Joseph, they walked obedient. They became a part of the fulfillment of God's plan, accomplished by the power of God. They both had obstacles to face. I'm sure it wasn't easy, the gossip bent on destroying their reputation. But God is faithful. He promises he will be with us. He will never leave you or forsake you, Deuteronomy 31:18. The Lord himself goes before you. Jesus was born in the exact town prophesied for his birth in Micah 5:2, in Bethlehem. The King of Kings was born into poor, humble circumstances, despite what our Christmas cards might portray. The surroundings were probably dark and dusty. She wrapped him in swaddling cloths, no cute clothes. They were just strips of fabric, and she laid him in a manger, a feeding trough lined with straw. Mary's first child, you remember your first, to be without care. In Mary's day, the mothers would have close relatives to assist. We are not told that she had any help. And if Joseph was like my husband, not much help there. Randy was just a walker. He'd walk around the room from one side to the other and go back and forth. And I was constantly telling him, please sit down. But the Lord was with Mary at this remarkable time. He had his hand upon her as she brought forth a son, the Messiah, our Savior. I bet she treasured all of this up in her heart as she saw him for the first time. She was blessed with the honor of raising and intimately knowing Jesus Christ. What an honor. Can you hear her singing to baby Jesus? They were a Jewish family. They were faithful to the law of Moses. He was circumcised at 8 days old, taken to the temple to perform redemption of the firstborn son in obedience to the Torah, Exodus 13 and Leviticus 12. The question is often asked, what did Mary know beyond what the angel told her? Scripture don't tell us, but we do know God humbled himself to live as we do, Philippians 2:7. I believe that God gave her knowledge just when she needed it as a mother. She was a woman of scripture and prayer. The Lord is there to guide us and to give us wisdom. And if we lack wisdom, we can ask in James 1:5, and he gives it generously. So mothers need to be on their knees for their children. And I think we can safely say that Mary prayed. So nothing more is known of Jesus until he appears with his parents at the Feast of Passover, and he is 12 years old. As a custom, everyone was there. It was a big crowd, tons of people, a big shindig. And he was mistakenly left behind. What could Mary have been thinking? Was he with family or friends? It would be easy to do, and some of us will more than likely have been there. But the fear, the helplessness, the panic, where is he? You know, where is my child? Now, I can recall a time our oldest granddaughter was an infant, and the panic and the fear that went through me in just one instant. We were in the Mall of America in Minnesota. Caitlin was a baby in a stroller. I mean, little, where she was still sleeping most of the time. And my daughter and myself, we were shopping baby clothes. Randy and my son didn't want to shop for baby clothes, so they took Caitlin in the stroller and went to the Bose store, which was out the door where we were, and down a few stores. So it wasn't too far, but that's where they took her. So we're shopping in there, and then all of a sudden we're leaving the store and they're coming back to us, but they didn't have a stroller in their hands. And it was just, I mean, I looked at my daughter-in-law, she looks at me, and I mean, just the panic that was over us, just like, oh my gosh, where's Caitlin? And about that time, the guys saw our looks, and they look at each other like we looked at each other. And of course they went, and Caitlin was there. She was there, right in the Bose store, probably listening to the music. But it was very scary. It was a very, very scary time. And what was she missing? A matter of minutes? But that panic that sets in when you don't know where your child is. But Jesus, he was missing for 3 days and a great distance from home. So upon seeing him, Mary replies, "Why have you done this to us?" She scolded him. "Your father and I have sought you anxiously," from Luke 2:48. But she probably wanted to wring his neck. She was astonished at what she heard him say and treasured them up in her heart. Luke 2:51. Was Mary remembering who he was? The Son of God, the Messiah. For he was about his father's business. It's hard to let our children go to cut those apron strings. And it all starts around 12. And Mary was looking for a little boy, but she found a young man. It's bittersweet to see our children grow up, but we must not hold them back. We can't get in God's way. Our children need to exercise their wings. But this still tugs at the mother's heart. So God had blessed Mary with sons and daughters. Being a parent is a big responsibility. God knows. He knows children needs both a father and a mother. He chose Mary and Joseph, and they both played a part in this magnificent story. They loved and they served the Lord with their whole heart, and they were obedient as they lived their faith. Our children make us laugh and they make us cry. Our hearts overflow with love. It shows in our whole being, just as it hurts when they hurt. Mary was a mom, like you and I. Did she kiss her baby's boo-boos? Laugh at the silly jokes? Witness them playing together? Did she cook their favorite meals? Tuck them in with a prayer and a kiss at night? Did she sing to them? I can see her singing because she was full of joy. Teaching them scripture as her parents had done. Can you see her praying to them? She loved. Her heart was bent toward God. She was faithful to his calling. He was with her. He was with her as she witnessed her son being rejected when she heard hateful accusations, as she watched her son's hands and feet nailed to the cross, and as the sword pierced his side, and that would also pierce her heart. Luke 2:34 and 35. God's love comforts us. Our Father does not leave us. It's a promise. Remember this promise. He has your hand, and he will lead you through hard times in Isaiah 41:13. Mary was a woman of virtue, but not to be esteemed above another. We are not to worship anything but God alone, in Matthew 4:10. Guzik said her praise is blessed on the blessing of giving birth to the Messiah. She is an example that we should follow. Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be according to your will. Blessed is she who believed that what the Lord has said will be accomplished. And Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior. And for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word that includes so many stories and lessons for us. May we all have Mary's heart, one that is open and willing to do your purpose and glorify the Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.